Awesome. Well, thanks, Victor. And thanks so much, Jenna, for sharing your story. That was so wonderful. So thought provoking. And yeah, I just love that. And thanks for sharing, Alex. I love our open mic time. Honestly, my favorite time. I think I say this every time I preach, but it's true every time. It's my favorite part of UCM. So thank you guys so much for sharing and trusting our community with your stories. Well, I'm going to dive right into it because it's a short talk tonight, and I would love to get into what Claudia has to say tonight. So if you're new here tonight, welcome. We're so happy you guys made it out. We've been going through this series titled Every Job a Parable. And in this series, we've been discussing two major questions. The first one is, can God reveal himself to us through our work? And the second question is, can our work reveal God to others? So in week one, Pastor James talked all about how God is a creative God. And then we heard from Aiden's dad, who's a creator himself. He's an artist, designs apps. So we got to hear a little bit of insight from him. And last week, Dr. Todd spoke to us about how the fall affects our work. And then we heard from a professor at the university, Dennis Jasper, who's a nursing professor, all about how God reveals himself through his work. And this week, I want to talk to you guys all about how we can partner with God in his redemptive work through our work. So my big idea tonight, we can partner with God in the redemption of the world through our work. So I just want to quickly talk about redemption and like where it is in the Bible, why it's important to God. And so first of all, I got to go to Google. What is the Google definition of redemption? So I'm just going to share that with you guys. Google says redemption is the action of saving or being saved from sin, error, or evil. The action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or clearing debt. So when you read through scripture, it is super obvious that God cares about the redemption of our world. Redemption is spread throughout the scriptures. You can do one Google search on it, and over 50 scripture verses and stories on this topic pop up. Redemption as a biblical principle is so evident in the Old and the New Testament, and it's woven throughout the whole Bible. In the Old Testament, we can see stories of how God redeemed the nation of Israel by saving them and clearing their debt. He gave them so many chances, and even when they failed him, he remained their faithful redeemer. And in other Old Testament stories, there's even these people who are called family redeemers because it was their job to take care of the family and redeem the family when someone died. And jumping into the New Testament, we see a ton of stories through Jesus' lives where he brought redemption to humanity through saving people from evil, through saving them from sin and shame. We just heard the song Graves into Gardens. Like, that whole song is all about how God is redeeming. And then we get to the big redemption story, which is the cross, where Jesus saved humanity from sin in exchange for the ultimate payment of dying on the cross. God created our world, and when the fall happened, his response to the fall was redemption. God's heart for his creation is to bring redemption to every area of life. And we see that throughout his word. These are just some examples that I gave, but there's so many in the Bible. And he really wants to use us here and now to also partake in his work of redemption. So if you're a Christian in the room, I'm not assuming that everyone here is, but if you are a Christian in this room tonight, we are called to look at our work differently. As Christians, we're called to belong to Christ and participate in his creative and redemptive work. God's response to the fall is redemption, and our world needs that. He wants to redeem all things, and every area of work, I believe, can be redeemable for his purposes. So then how does God look at our work as redemptive work? If our work can be used as redemption, then how? Great, that sounds awesome. Sounds neat and dandy, Reina, but like, what does that actually look like? How can I do that? Like, what does this mean? Okay, so I think it starts with changing our view of work. That's point one. I want to send out a challenging thought to you guys that maybe God cares less about what we do and more about what we do with what he gives us. So just think about that for a moment. Now, of course, God cares about what we do, and he wants us to be thoughtful and prayerful about the jobs that we take and the career paths that we go down. And of course, we're always asking, like, what is God calling me to do? But I think that wherever we find ourselves, whatever career path you end up going down, and whatever you get yourself into, that God is far more concerned with our view of what we do and what we do with our work. So don't get me wrong, he cares about our callings and stuff, but yeah, I want to challenge that thought that God cares less about what we do and more about what we do with what he gives us and where he finds us or where we find ourselves. Luke 16:10 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. So this means that even in our little jobs that we have, whether that's school, summer work, volunteering, serving at UCM, whatever it is, we need to not just look at these things as a means to an end. What I mean by that is I think oftentimes when we're in school, we think, you know, it's just a means to an end. I'm only here to get the good job where I'll make an impact. And so what I'm trying to say is we need to begin to look at it as a way that we can partner with God, even in the little things, even while you're at school, even when you're not doing the job that's glamorous or the job that you thought you would be doing. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for in the realm of the dead where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. So this means that whatever we do, God can be present with us and is revealed. And again, I think sometimes as students, it's really easy to get into this mindset that schooling is just what we have to do in order to actually do the work that God has called us to. And our summer jobs just are a way to get money until we can work our way up to a good job. And that's when God is going to move. And that's when I'm actually going to do something that matters. But I think these verses challenge us to think differently about that. And I want you to think about what you do right now, whether that's part-time work, you're working at Starbucks, grocery store, maybe you're an SL leader, maybe you're just a full-time student, you're studying, whether you're in the classroom. I want us to begin to think of these things as ways that God can be revealed and bring redemptive work. And you don't need a position of power to make a difference. God cares about your work everywhere. So if we want to be people to bring redemptive work into the workplace, then we need to change our view of work. And then we also need to just begin to look for these areas to bring redemption. So whether you're a student, you're tutoring a student, you're researching, you're analyzing, you're an engineer, designer, you can bring redemption to wherever you find yourself. Now, God doesn't always promise a good job, but the promise there is that you can do good in any job that you're in. We need to begin to look for ways to be a redeemer in our work. And this could be from giving people, maybe giving someone a second chance in your job, no to someone, allowing people's failures and giving them a second chance. And those who make mistakes, maybe giving them a redeeming chance. Maybe you're going to find yourself working at a gas station or in customer service this summer. Maybe you can affect the culture in that work environment. Maybe there's a way that you can bring redemption into that, the culture of the people you're working with. So just to kind of illustrate a little bit, I know Claudia is going to be my master illustrator tonight, but just a quick story of maybe a time where I had that happen to me, where I felt like someone gave me was a redeemer for me in a workplace. So when I was in college, I know it was a Bible college, but I still think it's applicable. I had applied for an internship in my first year of college to work with one of the discipleship programs. And I had my hopes super low on getting in on this at all. It was a super high committed position. It was really hard to get it. Lots of people applied for it and only certain people got them. Like usually the people who are super ambitious usually got these positions. And in my first year of college, I was a bit of a mess. I didn't do well on my assignments. I was working through a lot emotionally and I was usually really late to things. I didn't have any clue what a calendar was. I wish I knew Victor when I was a student because his calendar is awesome. But when I started college, man, I was just figuring it out. So, and anyone who looked at me just thought that, you know, Rena needs some time to figure her life out, whatever. So I knew that, you know, when I applied, if people ever thought about me, they'd probably just say like, hot mess, give her another year, like, until she gets herself together. But there was one leader, my redeemer, who saw potential in me and looked past all my mistakes and all the things that I was going through that year and took a chance on me. And I remember they told me that, when they took a chance on me, that they were responsible for whether or not I did well. So they took the fall if I sunk, basically. And this is someone who was a redeemer for me. They saw something in me and saw past all my mistakes and gave me a second chance, and took on any blame for themselves if I screwed up, which I thought was really cool when I heard that. And so they gave me the internship regardless of my track record. And as a result, I rose to the challenge and I remained in that internship for 3 more years. And so when we're thinking about our work environments, we need to think about being these kinds of people for other people. Think about the kind of people that you encounter in your work environments that maybe need wrongs righted, or maybe they need grace or a second chance. Are there workplace culture shifts that need to take place or healing that needs to happen? And to kind of bring this to a close, I just want to remind us that regardless of what you're studying or going into, that the calling to follow Christ is at the root of every calling. And that means that his redemptive work can occur in every workplace, whether that's through justice, healing, reconciliation, compassion, kindness, humility, patience. God's redemptive work can be done through you and in whatever you do. And in order to partner with God's redemptive work, again, we need to have a change of mindset, and we need to look for these opportunities where we can be a redeemer for someone. So I want to illustrate this ultimately by bringing up my friend Claudia to join me here in the spotlight. So her face will pop up here. So I asked Claudia to come tonight to be interviewed on this topic because I remember when I met Claudia was when I was interning at a church in the summer. And I remember her as just being someone who was always so intentional and thoughtful about how God moved in her work. She always talked about it. She was always talking about how God is moving in her work and how she saw God in her work. And so when we brought up this sermon series, she was literally the first person that popped into my head. So I just want to welcome you, Claudia, to our Thursday night gathering.
Everyone.
Why don't you just give yourself a little brief introduction? I know I kind of just rambled about you for a minute, but tell us a little bit about yourself.
Great to meet everybody. I only see a couple of faces at the top here, but I think I saw a big screen earlier. By the way, thank you for inviting me into this community, Rena, for this evening. It's really an honor. And it's just super encouraging to see everybody just so, I think, just committed to learning about God and to just fellowshipping and building friendships. So about myself, my name is Claudia. I work for ICBC in the driver licensing division. I started with ICBC back in 2010. I took a bit of a year break in 2014. And then now I'm working to present. I started off actually as a CSR, which is like a customer service rep. And then after like about a year, I ended up doing driver examining. So I was a driver examiner for quite a few years, which was a lot of fun. It sounds scary, but it's actually a super fun job. You get some really crazy stories out of it, and you get Yeah, you get to go some pretty interesting experiences, very, very near to God, you know, in those kind of near death experiences, because there's some pretty crazy drivers out there. But yeah, when I came back to ICBC, which would have been in 2016, I really felt like God was going to do something different with my time there. And so within about a year, my manager had asked me to take on some leadership responsibilities, and eventually I applied for a supervisor position, which is what I'm doing right now. I supervise an office in East Vancouver. Other than what I do, definitely love Jesus. I love the church, and I love talking about how we can actually see our purpose in work. And I love encouraging people in that arena, whether or not they're a Christian, actually, whether or not you believe in God, your work has purpose. I love the outdoors, love hiking, love hanging out with friends. As I was preparing for this evening, I wrote, I love chips, which is a very random fact, but I do love, I really love my chips. I love my junk food. And yeah, pretty much stuck at home other than at work, like most of us out there today.
Yeah. Oh man, Claudia, you have to tell me some of these stories sometimes. I didn't know you did that. That would be sweet. I was probably one of those drivers who scared people. So
I don't know, Rena. Actually. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Oh, awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming again. Just like a quick question for you is when you were a young adult considering your vocation, what you do, did you ever think about how your work would matter to God?
So I wasn't a follower of Jesus, in my young adult year. Well, I guess kind of, maybe my later young adult years. Actually around the time that I started with ICBC was the time that, I actually started to learn about Jesus and ended up following him. So by that time I'd already graduated, but, there was always this sense that I was meant to do something meaningful with my life. And for me, that was actually connected to my job and my career. So, you know, I watched, like most young people, like I watch a lot of movies and TV, and you read a lot of really inspiring, you know, stories about, you know, the president of the United States or this, you know, this Nobel Prize winner. And you're like, man, I want to do that. I want to be like that. Cause, you know, you want to make your life count for something. And I think I had that sense, growing up and certainly in my university years as well.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I know this is kind of like a big passion for you. So like when did that click kind of happen for you? Like that change? Like, I'm just thinking.
So I think, you know, I'll say it's a journey, for sure. And I think that'll be the case for all of us. Like, I think my generation, I'm a millennial. I'm a millennial.
Yeah.
I do remember that. Great. Getting so old now. But as a millennial, like we think we're really special. And I think it's totally fine if we do. But I think the shift really for me actually probably happened in the past couple years doing my role, because now I am in a leadership position. I recognize that my life is actually not about me, and it's actually about, it's actually about God working through me, like you said, for the redemption of this world. And the way that looks like it is redeeming others and drawing people a little bit closer to God. So I would say the shift hasn't really happened in my young adult life. It's more so happened in the past few years. But just recognizing that all of what I do in my work somehow matters to God, no matter how mundane it seems.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Just in the last few years for you. Totally. While you've been at ICBC. No, that's awesome.
I know you guys are actually a lot further along than I am. I think you guys have exhibited a lot of just maturity, even just hearing Jenna's testimony and hearing Alex share and even hearing you share today for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. Claudia, what has God revealed to you about himself in your work? Or even if I want to paraphrase that, how do you see your work as redemptive? Have you seen him as a redeemer in your work?
Yeah. I'll say this. I never thought that I would be in this role. Like, I graduated out of university. I went to UBC Vancouver. I graduated with an English lit degree thinking that I actually changed my major quite a few times. So for any of you guys who are struggling or figuring out what you want to do with your career, and you're feeling bad for switching majors, like I'm one right here who switched my majors many times because I was just trying to pursue what I was interested in. And hoping that it would lead to a career. And I, like I said earlier, a lot of my identity, actually, a lot of what I saw as worth was actually tied to what I did. Mm. And so I really appreciated actually what you shared earlier when you said, God doesn't care so much of what you do. It's about how you see your work mattering to him. And it's what you do with the gifts and the talents that you have. So when I came into this role, I actually came into this role actually rather reluctantly. And the way I've seen God reveal himself to me is actually by working on me. Like I remember I went to a conference one time and a professor had said when he was stepping into like a dean role, like basically like the head honcho of a college role, he said the best advice that somebody gave him was that when you step into this role, you're going to have to deal with yourself. And basically what that means is that like when you go into the workplace, it's not just you going out there being a missionary or being a witness for Jesus. It's actually God's actually forming you and growing you and maturing you in all the experiences that you encounter. And I think the grace that I've experienced from God has been incredible. Like if I mess up and I apologize, I expect, you know, cause I'm like, oh, I'm in the world. I'm being sent out into the world, but I'm not of the world. I expected to experience, you know, persecution, but it wasn't like that at all. And I really saw God revealing himself in that way. So receiving grace for sure from others when I messed up or when I, yeah, was just learning how to be a leader, how to supervise, how to coach people. Mm. And then on the flip side where I was, you know, actually pouring out as well, I think I really saw God revealing himself when there would be opportunities where conversations would come up and they would be completely like unprovoked. It would just be like, I went for a walk with one of my team members one time and we were just talking and she was just talking about life, what she wants to do with her job. And I always ask my team members, like, how do you guys see yourself here? Like, where do you see yourself in about 5 years? Cause a lot of times as a CSR, you can feel like you're just a cog in the wheel, especially when you work for a large corp. We were just talking, I didn't even mention God. And then when we came back to the office, she said, wow, thank you for that spiritual conversation. And then I was like, what? Like that was spiritual? Like, okay, sure. So there are a lot of these moments where if just being attentive to God in these little interactions, that's just with my team. There've definitely been some really, really cool interactions too with customers coming through our doors, but that's just a couple of examples.
Wow. Yeah. That's so cool. I love that you're kind of talking about, how you're seeing God move and being in the world. Like it, you're not just because you're around Christian people, but you're actually seeing God work through all the people that you're working with. And yeah, I think that's a really cool example. God just working through you as you're just having a conversation with someone else, not even about a spiritual matter, but it obviously impacted her, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. How would you say you have imaged God or put him on display in your work?
When you asked me this question too, I thought, okay, yeah. I think Yako had said it's a journey. I think he answered that question for the previous, that's how he answered for the previous question too. Like how has God revealed himself? I would say bearing God's image is also a journey. Like know that you're going to screw up. I think just accept that. Like for me as a perfectionist, I definitely need to accept that. Like, oh my gosh, like today was not a good day. I totally lost my patience. But there are a couple of things that come to mind. First is that, I think by showing that you are a flawed human, is huge. Like, and just being able to say like, oh my gosh, like I messed up. I'm so sorry. Or I remember, my first year of this role, I got my competency survey, which is essentially staff members tell me how they think about me, what they think about me, and they give me feedback and it's all anonymous. You can say whatever you want. And it was intense. It was probably like the worst review that I could think of. Like it was like, I barely passed out of 5. I think I got a 2 point something. It was really sad, very sad day. But I think what I learned from that survey, was that this whole time I thought that by doing good at my job, you know, like we're all trained to perform in the world, right? We're like execute well, deliver results. And yet my team members had nothing to say about that. The only mm-hmm. thing that mattered to them was the fact that they didn't trust me. And it was clear that, yeah, I took that away and I was like, oh my gosh, like the number one thing I really got to work on this year is building relationships. And so through that process of pursuing relationships and pursuing to build trust with my team members, I think that's what God does for us. Like he doesn't care about what we do, really. Like you said earlier, I think if there's that message to drive home, he really cares about building relationship. And even Jenna had said, she's like, man, I just wanted to like hear God and see him face to face. And I think that's what we all want. And that's what God wants for us. So I think once that shift happened for me, I think really things really began to shift in our team as well. So that's one way. And then may I share another way?
Yeah, absolutely.
Another example from work.
Yeah.
So one thing is that in my office, so my office is down in East Vancouver. So if you guys know Vancouver, I know you guys, most of you are in Okanagan, Kelowna. But
you're from all over the place right now.
You guys are from all over. Okay, cool. So shout out to anybody who knows East Van. East Vancouver, on Commercial Drive, there are a lot of people who are East Van. Nice, Rylan. So there are, we got a lot of people who are homeless, a lot of people from the vulnerable population, low income. And so when I first started, I noticed that there were some, there was like an outreach organization called Carnegie, and there were a couple others too. And they would always visit our office with like 12 or so individuals. And most of them, they were, really, really outwardly, we're all broken. Okay. But they were outwardly broken in the sense where they were, you know, smelly, they were swearing, and they were just really unhelpful. And to tell people, because what I do in my office, and just to give you guys a bit of a glimpse, most of you guys have interacted with the driver licensing office. We do IDs. We produce licenses. We help people with we process prohibitions, violation tickets and stuff like that. But the key thing for the vulnerable population is to get a piece of photo ID so that they can have dignity, so they can actually get social services, they can access medical care, et cetera. And that's what we do. And we were getting a lot of these people coming in near the end of the day, and it was just killing us. And in terms of just like my staff would have to work overtime, and oftentimes they would come unattended. And it was just something, I just felt like it was the right thing to do. I started to build relationships with the outreach workers. And then I actually reached out to some of the managers and the decision makers out in Carnegie. And we ended up developing a really good relationship. And so we were like, hey, look, can you come a little bit earlier and we'll service you? And it's been 3 years now. And basically we've become the hub for anybody. Like our office, at least in the Lower Mainland, has been the main office where people will know that they can receive the help and the care that they need. Mm-hmm. And what was really cool was that the company ended up writing an article on our office just about how we had built relationship with a couple of other nonprofits, which inspired actually a whole bunch of other individuals, because that went on, we have in the corporate website, a lot of other, all the employees within ICBC actually get to read it. So I just have faith that God's going to use that little seed to inspire somebody somewhere out there to really advocate and to really pursue justice and really connect mm-hmm. with the community, and to see that, one little contribution that we make can actually make a ripple effect. And it's how I see being salt and light. But I never thought like, oh, this is my plan to like be on a, you know, to be highlighted. It was just, you just follow God. And yeah. I think I really saw him show up in really powerful ways.
Yeah. Oh, Claudia, I love that story. That is such a great example of how God can use us for redemptive work in the world. Like, so cool. And you just wouldn't think, like, I love that, that you're coming to share, because it's such a unique job of working at ICBC. Like, how do you see God work through that? And that's so cool. You're just attentive to his voice. And just like, yeah, like that's so cool. And God used your faithfulness and spotlighted you guys. I think that's so great. Yeah, thanks so much for sharing those. I just have one final bonus question for you that I didn't tell you about, but okay, if you were to give any advice to our students, what would you give them?
Oh my gosh. It really depends on your need, but I think I would say know that you can invite God. There are two things: that God is always inviting us to co-mission with him. Like he's always like, if you actually just take a moment, just to step back and just reflect, you can see God weaving somehow into your life. And no matter what you do, and yeah, just by faith, I know that he can reveal that to you. And so I guess taking that posture just to pause and just to see like, okay, God, even just asking like, God, okay, show me how you're with me in this like really chaotic moment. Show me how you're with me right now as this customer is yelling at me and is just super upset. I think that's huge. I think very practically speaking, I for sure like thinking having community around you is really important too, because you need friends to encourage you. There's like in all that you do, you're going to run into challenges. And I think the sooner you accept that fact that it's going to be hard, the better. And then you need people around you to encourage you, to remind you who you are, that you are not in your job, that's not your identity, that you're doing the best that you can. That's another huge one. And I think just trusting that I don't know. Those are maybe the two things. There's so much more, but I think you guys can learn from one another. I think the last thing I'll say is that you can, every single opportunity and every experience that you have is always a learning opportunity. And it's not, yeah. So, and trust that you can actually even learn from a non-Christian. You can learn so much actually from other people, regardless of whether or not they're a believer. And you can trust that somehow God is working in them, whether or not they're aware.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, Claudia, so good. Great advice. That's so wonderful. Well, thanks for sharing, Claudia. I am going to pass it back off to Victor, and he's going to send us back out into breakout rooms. So
thanks, guys.
Thanks again.